Talking about the genius of generosity this morning. I want to bring your attention to some of the greatest intellectuals of all time. Albert Einstein, probably heard of him. We'll put his picture on the screen if you guys are ready. The father of modern physics, most known for his theory of relativity, E equals MC squared. Heard of that? Leonardo da Vinci. Architect, engineer, scientist, inventor who sketched the first parachute, the first helicopter, airplane, swinging bridge, paddle boat, and motor car. Responsible for arguably the most famous portrait in history, the Mona Lisa. Marie Curie, known for the discovery of radium, the first person, let alone female, to win two Nobel Prizes. They're probably pretty noble as well. One in physics and the other in chemistry. C.S. Lewis, author responsible for the Chronicles of Narnia. Literary mastermind, Christian apologist. And of course, our list would not be complete without the inclusion of this next brainchild, Matt Judd. Who is a genius in his own right, the founder and pastor of arguably the greatest church in the world. Good News Church. I have to pay homage to our great pastor. What would it take for you to rank among such greats? For you to be a genius in your own right? Well, today we'll find out exactly how you too can become a genius. Talking about the genius of generosity. What does that mean? Why would we be talking about this? Genius comes from the Latin word meaning to produce. And represents quality, natural ability. We usually use it for anyone with a really high IQ. In Hebrew, the word generosity, while we couple these words together, the word generosity literally means to saturate with water, a symbol of life, and I love this part of it, to overflow in a way that brings life to people. I think that's in fitting with our mission here, empowering people to give life, and it has to do with generosity. Overflow in a way that brings life to people. In Greek, it means ready to distribute, available to give time, talent, and treasure to bless others. And when you put these connotations together, you get a dramatic picture. And today I want to emphasize that generosity. That generosity is a life overflowing with care and concern for others, and it's a brilliant way to live. Generosity isn't supposed to be a high calling for just a few super spiritual people. It's supposed to be for every believer. Every believer is supposed to be generous. And spending and saving carefully are wise, but generous giving is genius. Both practically and spiritually, it's one of the smartest, most intellectually sound, and emotionally satisfying decisions you'll ever make in your life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this message this morning. May our hearts be open to you. May our hearts be open to you directing us in such ways so that we can be generous and be a blessing to others. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Imagine that you were called into a private meeting with a wealthy man. And he outlined three things that he called a secret pact that he wanted to enter into with you. One, he would say, I have a desire to help poor and hurting people. Two, you are in contact with poor and hurting people every day. Three, I want you to be my eyes and ears and help people as God leads you. This is the secret pact. Then he hands you a small box whose contents are a checkbook inside. You open the checkbook, you note the balance ledger. Has a 5 and 3 zeros neatly printed on the right-hand column. You've just been given $5,000 for the express purpose of helping others, as you see fit, at your discretion. Then he instructs you to meet with him in a few months to give account of what you've done with his funds. Would you openly and honestly accept this mission? Wouldn't it be exciting? You've just been given a handful of cash, well, in a checkbook, to bless people with, right? $5,000. Wouldn't it be so easy just to give away this money? I mean, you see somebody in need, you're like, well, I've got the funds to do it. I've got the funds to help people. This is my mission, even. According to my secret pact with my wealthy benefactor, this is my mission to help people. Well, that's what happened to Chip Ingram, author of this book I've been reading called The Genius of Generosity, whose title I stole for the message this morning. If he's really generous, he wouldn't mind me having it. It's exactly what happened to him. A generous, a wealthy benefactor entrusted him with the resources to meet the needs of those he came in contact with. And over the next several years, he did just that. And it was a thrilling journey for him. And through the process, he learned many valuable lessons, which he writes about in this book. And I'm going to attempt to vomit it all out on you this morning in the time that I have. You'll get Nady's notes here. Not Cliff notes, but Nady's notes on the genius of generosity. But if this happened to you, you'd probably learn quickly the same things that Chip did. You think about, you think about the benefactor more often. You think about what are his desires? What are his purposes in meeting the needs of people? Two, you'd learn quickly how to balance a checkbook. Because you got to give account of what you've done with the money, and you can't just go back to him and say, well, I don't know, I'm missing $300. You think he would entrust you with more resources to go out and do the same? Probably not. So you'd learn how to balance a checkbook. And thirdly, you'd inevitably become great friends through the process and this partnership that you experience together. Hopefully you'll see the spiritual correlation here. And I want to outline what our response should be to our great benefactor God, who entrusts us with his resources to be generous to others. But God, in his infinite wisdom, he understands that being generous and helping others isn't simply something you do for others, but it's one of the best things you can do for yourself. That's why he instructs us to do so, because he has your best interests at heart. And he wants to bless you more than you can realize. So it's not just something you do for others, but it's one of the greatest things you can do for yourself is to be generous. Generosity is genius because it changes our lives. Now, the goal of this message isn't just to simply regurgitate every offering message that I've heard in my 9 years of being here at Good News Church. That's a lot of offering messages. You know, 52, no, there's Wednesday nights too. That's every year, a lot of offering messages to regurgitate. Although some of this may feel very familiar, we'll read some familiar scriptures. But I want you to look at this through a new lens this morning. I want you to look at giving through a new lens this morning, your generosity through a new lens. I want you to put on some fresh glasses this morning as we look at this topic. The goal this morning is to grow yourself to new heights when it comes to your giving. You may feel like a generous person already. You may feel like I tithe, I give offerings, I bless people when I feel the need or feel the urge to do so, when I feel motivated by God to do so, I bless people. You may feel like you're a generous person this morning. I certainly have felt this way. In reading this book, I didn't feel so generous. I felt like, you know what, I've got a ways to go. I feel like I can grow to a new height in my level of giving. And I believe that that's God's desire as well, that we all would grow to new heights in our levels of giving. So would you be open to that this morning? Thank you. Before you begin your journey of generosity, we have to understand, we have to come to a sobering realization, and I call it the whose is it principle. Everybody say, whose is it? I had a friend in college who knew this and operated by it on a daily basis. I mean, this joker would give away stuff at the drop of a hat. I once commented on a hat that he was wearing one particular day. And I said, man, that's a really cool hat. I like that hat. You know what he did? He took that hat off and he handed it to me. It's yours. I was like, whoa, wait a minute here. I really like your wallet. I really like your savings account. No, he was just very generous. I tried the hat on, it didn't fit, and I gave it back to him. He says, phew, that's good, because I really like that hat too. But his heart, he was willing to give away something that he valued, he prized, he enjoyed himself, to give it away at just literally the drop of a hat. And not just that, but many times I've seen him do that, not just to myself, but to others, and not just from a you know, a remark about something you like, but out of a genuine heart and concern for others. But literally, this guy understood that the things he possessed were not his own, that he was simply a steward of God's resources. Chip tells a story in his book about a vehicle he owned, a Volkswagen Beetle, and at the time, the vehicle, he didn't need it. They were moving to a place. He and his wife just got married. They had two vehicles. The place that they were going to be moving, they didn't really need but simply one vehicle because of the transport system in that particular city. And so he was trying to figure out, well, how much can I get for this car? And the car was worth around $800 at the time. So he thought, man, I could probably get $1,000 out of it. And as he's going through this thought process, he just simply heard on the inside, whose car is this? Whose car is this? And as he sensed the nudge of the Holy Spirit leading him, he immediately thought of a missionary in his church who was going to be traveling to Africa, and she was going to be needing a vehicle to travel around the states and raise support for that. And so God directed him to give this car away. And he did so, he says, out of obedience, but not generosity. It wasn't a generous thought for him, but it was simple obedience. And it was through this lesson that he realized the whose is it principle, that whose car is this? And I want us to think about that. Before we can ever be generous, we have to realize that God owns it all. Whose money is this? Whose shirt is this? Whose hat is this? Whose is it? Now, generosity is a beautiful word, isn't it? I mean, it flows from the tongue easily, conjures up images of joyful, extravagant giving. You know, it's like you picture $100 bills raining from the heavens as if the Donald were helicoptering over your house, dumping his riches upon everybody. I mean, it's like generosity. It's like this word that, I mean, it just makes you think these awesome thoughts about giving and receiving, right? Stewardship, on the other hand, has a heavier, more serious tone for a lot of people, one of obligation and strict limits on spending. But that's because we've seen it through such a narrow perspective. But a biblical idea would tell us that stewardship is a truly beautiful thing. It's an amazing privilege that God has given especially to us. Remember the wealthy benefactor who gave you $5,000 earlier in this message. What are you to him? A steward. You're a manager of his funds. And we have to understand that God owns it all, and we need to see stewardship less as a reluctant obligation and more as a thrilling opportunity to be generous. Now, anyone who's been around Bible teaching for any length of time probably understand the principle that God's owns it all. I mean, I'm not going to talk down to you. You are the first service people. You are the elite. Understand? So I know you understand that God owns it all. You've heard scriptures like Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Psalm 50:10, every beast in the forest is mine and the cattle on 1,000 hills. You even understand, I would go so far to say that you even understand that your body is not your own based on 1 Corinthians 6:19. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. You probably understand these things. So, I'm not going to belittle you this morning and think that you don't. But I want to draw your attention to a deeper issue that goes along with the whose is it principle. The deeper issue is trust. It's a relational issue. God has entrusted to us everything we have for a reason. He wants to partner with us to accomplish his plan and his purpose so we can demonstrate where our true priorities lie. Now, Jesus, he talked about money a lot. There's a lot about money in the Bible. And God talks about money a lot, not because he's in need of our money or Jesus wanted to make sure that we gave it all to him. It was because the way we handle money is the most accurate reflection of our relationship with him. There are two basic financial principles that are prerequisites to being a generous giver. How many of you say, I want to be a generous giver? Well, before you can be a generous giver, you have to understand the basics. One, we demonstrate generosity by giving our first and best to God. Proverbs 3:9, You can turn there if you like. We'll put it on the screen for you. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Now, this was clearly written to people who lived in an agricultural-based economy, but the principle applies to us all. If our priorities are right, our offerings to God will come first and foremost, right off the top of our income. We don't simply use everything that we have for ourselves. We don't pay our bills and go out to eat, and then at the end of the month we decide, hey, what's left? Let me give that to God. We honor the Lord with the first fruits, it says. So that's one of the basics. The second basic principle here is we demonstrate generosity by giving regularly and systematically. All right? Generosity isn't always a matter of waiting until you're in a giving mood. And certainly it can happen through such moments of inspiration, but you don't just wait till you win the lottery to decide to be generous. You don't just wait until you've gotten this huge inheritance before you say, when my ship comes in, then I'll give. Generosity begins with giving systematically, giving regularly. Your ship's never going to come in unless you understand and apply this basic principle. I promise you. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth with some instructions for giving. He was taking a collection for the believers in Jerusalem. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. Turn there. If you got your Bible. Again, we'll put it on the screen for you. In the NIV, it says this. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Paul knew that generosity is more than an occasional attitude or a feel-good response to a pressing need. He understood that it's a regular spiritual habit that we form that protects our hearts. And, from this, I see that Paul's given him instructions to give in the same rhythm that they receive. If you get paid every 2 weeks, then set aside your offering then. If you get paid every month, set aside your offering then. If you get paid on commission, set aside your offering when payday hits. Give in the same rhythm that you receive. Not to fulfill a legalistic schedule, but to establish a regular and systematic habit. It's a good thing to do that. There's a song by a old gospel trio called the Kingston Trio called Desert Pete. I don't want to tell you that story. There was a man once lost in the desert, just dying for a drink of water. He stumbled upon an old shack, a ramshackled, windowless, roofless, weather-beaten old shack. And he was thirsty. He looked about the place and he found a little shade from the heat of the desert sun, and he sat down for a minute. As he glanced around, he saw a pump about 15 feet away, an old rusty water pump. He stumbled over to it, grabbed the handle, he began to furiously pump up and down, up and down, up and down, until nothing came out and he was out of breath and worn down. Disappointed, he staggered back and he fell to the ground. He noticed off to the side an old jug. He looked at it, he wiped away the dirt, he wiped away the dust, and he read a message that said, "You have to prime the pump with all the water in this jug, my friend. Be sure you fill the jug again before you leave." He popped the cork out of the jug, and sure enough, there was water, almost full of water. Suddenly he was faced with a decision. If he drank the water, he could live for a time. But if he poured the water in that old rusty pump, maybe it could yield fresh, cool water from deep down in the well. All the water he wanted. So he studied the possibility of both options. What would he do? Would he pour it into the old pump and take a chance on fresh, cool water? Or would he drink what was readily available in that old jug and ignore its message? Should he waste all the water on the hopes of those flimsy instructions written no telling how long ago? Or should he just consume what's in front of him? Reluctantly, he poured all the water into the pump. Then he grabbed the handle and he began to pump furiously. Squeak, 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 squeak. Still, nothing came out. So he goes at it again. Squeak, 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 squeak. A little bit began to dribble out. Then suddenly a gush of water came flowing out. And to his relief, he experienced fresh, cool water out of the old rusty pump. So he filled up the jug and he drank from it. He filled it another time. He drank from it again. And then he poured it all over himself and began to wash his body. And it was such a refreshing moment. After he was done, he filled the jug for the next traveler. He put it, filled it to the top, put the cork back on, and then added this little note to the message. Believe me, it really works. You have to give it all away before you can get anything back. And that's a great picture of the faith that it requires to be generous. Great promises are given to generous people, but we can only receive those promises by first giving away our treasures. And it doesn't seem very wise to give what you can see in order, exchange for what you can't see. Right? I mean, the old guy was thirsty for water. I mean, it didn't seem very smart for him to dump all that water out. He couldn't see any fresh, cool water. He didn't even have he didn't even know whether it would work. And we, on the other hand, have great promises for us when we're generous. Great promises of sowing and reaping. And of when we give away something that we have, something that's presently visible, we have great promises of the invisible that we have to see with our faith eyes. Promises that are sure, promises that are true. I mean, it's risky. I mean, it feels risky to give. It requires faith. And that's where most of us find ourselves when we become, when we decide that we want to become generous, faithful stewards. And we start with the basics. We give our first and our best. We give systematically. We give regularly. And that's just the beginning of the journey. But the degree of faith required of us only increases from there. That's why the average Christian, just give you a statistic here, the average Christian only gives about 2.5% of his or her income to the work of God. And there's no wonder. I mean, giving feels risky. I mean, to think that you can live on the 90% of your income versus the 100%, or to live on the 80% versus the 20%, or whatever your percent is. Giving feels risky, but the risk is nothing compared to the reward. The risk is nothing compared to the reward. I remember, my household, my dad modeled generosity. I understood it from the moment when I was very young. They would give me money to put in the offering basket. And, you know, at that point, I didn't understand the principles of the tithe and, you know, tithes and offerings and stuff. I just knew, hey, Dad gave me a dollar and I'm supposed to put this in the offering. But he modeled generosity for us. But as you get older, you learn your own lessons about generosity. You learn your own lessons about giving and the faith that is required to give, because it's no longer my dad gave me a dollar to put in the offering. It's I got paid and I have bills and I have things that I need to take care of, and I have to eat and I need clothes and I need shelter and I have all these needs. And if I give away part of my money, how are these needs going to be met? On paper, it doesn't even add up. The 90% doesn't even meet the 120% of my needs here. You understand? Maybe you've been there. Your income and your outgo, they just don't match up. And then you can get into debt. And it's a painful thing. It's a painful process. So you learn your own lessons about giving and the faith that it requires to do so. I remember God directing on my heart to give $100 one time over and above my tithe. And I was like, God, I'm already giving my 10%, you know, come on, man. Seriously, $100? Do you know how much I make? I feel like I got to remind him, you know, I'm only making $500 every 2 weeks here, Lord. You're talking about giving an extra 10% this one time. What's the deal? And so reluctantly, I agreed. I obeyed. I gave away my $100. I was like, wow, I really did this. Sure enough, that service, I'm walking out the door, and somebody had bought one of my CDs, my very first CD, the His Holy Hill CD, and they listened to it. It blessed them, and the guy walks up to me, and he shakes my hand, one of those good old-fashioned Pentecostal handshakes, and one where it's got money in there. I love those types of handshakes, right? And I slip it in my pocket. God bless you. Thank you very much. You know, trying to be humble, but really I'm wanting to, like, see how much money is this, you know? So I get out to my car, and I open the check, and it's a check for $100. And I'm like, God, did you, you know, here I am all concerned about giving away this money when God was really just trying to teach me a lesson here. God was really just working on my heart in this instant, you know. God was showing me that you can't outgive me. You give and you'll receive. And many times, and I've learned this over the years, many times it's not just the $100 that you gave that you get back. It's the $100 plus. It's the scripture talks about pressed down, shaken together, running over. You don't just give, you don't just receive a lot of times exactly what you got back, but you get it in increase and in abundance. And there's a purpose for it. I remember that Chris and I were planning for a vacation that we had coming up, and you know, we weren't making a lot of money at this time, and you know, we were depending on one income for our family, and we were like, well, we really enjoy traveling, we really enjoy going on vacation, we need a vacation, and it doesn't seem like there's money to go anywhere, so we decided that we were going to sow a seed. We're going to give the money, really money we could use to, you know, put down on a rental condo or whatever, we were going to give this money in faith, believing that God would meet our need. Sure enough, we sow our seed, and right before, probably a week before we went on vacation that year, somebody walks up to me, and he again, hands me a check, and he says, have a great summer. So I'm like, okay, cool, you know, did the whole thank you, God bless you, put it in your pocket deal, and then run to the bathroom this time, because man, I'm expecting some harvest, you know, and I want to see what God's done in this situation. And I run to the restroom and I open the check and it's $1,000. And I'm like, woo! I'm going on vacation. And that was the exact amount that we needed for the vacation that we wanted to take that year. And otherwise we wouldn't have been able to go on vacation. I mean, we would have taken some time off, but it wouldn't have been vacation. You know what I'm saying? It wouldn't have been, we would have went to, like, you know, stay with some family or something. That's, you know, all right. Move on from there. It's not very exotic, you know what I mean? God is, you know, I've seen the reward on stepping out in faith so many times that I can't even question it when God directs me to give something away now. I've seen Him come through so many times. I've seen the payoff of the investment. It's no longer a risk for me. It's just an investment that I make into the kingdom of God, into His work. I've seen it time and time again. I recorded a CD in 2006, and if any of you have worked in the music business at all, you understand that that type of thing can cost a little bit of money. And, you know, I'm not talking like we didn't do like a $10,000 project or anything like that, but it was expensive to me. It was, you know, it was around, I think it was around $4,000 to record the CD and to get it produced and all that kind of stuff. And $4,000 that I didn't have. And I sure wasn't going to ask the worship team. I was asking the worship team to play on it. I wasn't going to ask them to give any money towards it. You know, I'm already asking enough of these guys. And so I'm like, God, you're going to have to provide for this. I believe you're directing me to do this. You're going to have to show up. You're going to have to provide. And I promise that everything that comes back to me, I'll use it in a way that's generous for your kingdom. And so I began to just kind of get in the natural a little bit. I began to look at what I had that I could sell. You know, I started raiding my attic space, and I had this musical equipment, and I had some contacts, and I said, "You look, I got this equipment here, and you know, I'm willing to sell it for X amount of dollars, and would you be willing to buy it?" And you know, we were at a little time crunch there, and the money, the last payment needed to be made, and it was $2,500, And like, I needed it yesterday. You know what I'm saying? And so that's when I kind of get in a scramble. I'm like, what can I sell? What can I do to get this money? And that weekend, the Monday that check is due, that weekend, my dad comes down and he's like, man, I got some awesome news for you. And he hands me a check, and guess how much the check was for? $2,500. I'm like, my dad didn't even, I mean, I didn't even tell him how much the CD was for. I wasn't asking him for resources or for money. But my grandfather's, they had sold my grandfather's house, and he had some commission on it. And he's like, this is your cut, you know? It was the exact amount that we needed. And time again, I've seen that over and over. 2009, I gave my truck away. God directed me to do that. This month, I got, today's May, but last month I got a 2008 Ford Explorer for free. I've seen the reward for the faith of giving. I've given away guitars, digital recorders, MP3 players, sound equipment. I've given away CDs. I haven't missed any of it. You'll never miss what you give away for God. Why not? Because I've seen God multiply the seed that we've sown, and we trust Him to do it every single time. That's where faith comes in. Faith is the key to becoming habitually generous and experiencing the joy of giving. And you know what? Our faith is truly stretched when we understand the principle of giving proportionally. Generous people give proportionally to the way God has blessed them. Now, for many of you here, you know the concept of percentage giving rather than amounts. You know the concept of the tithe and 10%. But for others of you, you may feel stretched just like putting a 20 in the basket when it comes by. But God wants us to step out in faith and increase our giving as He increases our income. Now, thinking about, you know, giving based on percentage, I want to talk a little bit about the tithe, and I want you to not think in traditional terms of the 10% tithe. That's a proportional gift, but a lot of times it's not always the best reflection of our ability and desire to give. Our capacity and passion for generosity should never be limited by a standard figure. It's much better to drop our assumptions and expectations and ask God to lead us to the proportion that best reflects our hearts and our income. Now, there's been much written and debated about giving a tithe as the first portion of our income to God. The tithe was instituted before the law of Moses. The Israelites actually paid multiple tithes a year under their theocracy. Their giving amounted to about 23% of their income. Jesus would later instruct the Pharisees of his day to realign their hearts and recognize the worship that God wants is love, mercy, and justice without neglecting the required 10% under the law. Unfortunately, this whole discussion about the tithe usually misses the spirit and purpose of the genius of generosity. Many people tithe religiously, hear what I'm saying, but don't give faithfully. Many people tithe religiously, but don't give faithfully. That's why I say stop tithing religiously and start giving faithfully. When you tithe out of religious duty or obligation, it often breeds questions like, well, do I tithe on the gross or the net, or do I pay a tithe on my tax refund? And ultimately, the deeper question behind these questions is, how little can I give and still fulfill what's required of me? We can get into a legalistic and ritualistic way of just checking off a box. And God doesn't respond to boxes checked off in ritual obligation. God responds to gifts given in faith. God responds to faith. So, start with 10%. Some people say start with 1%, start with 5%, whatever. Start where you are. I say start with 10% because that's faith. Start with 10%. That shouldn't be your end goal. It's 10%. You understand what I'm saying? Well, I'm going to start at 1 and work my way up to 10. Let's start at 10 and work our way up from there. Let's have some faith that God will meet our need every single time, and He'll come through when we have a need. Getting up to 10% is like where you want to get to a point where, God, I did this. I want you to go from being a tickled tither to a generous giver. I don't want you to be happy about, you know, I understand what I'm saying. I've been there. You give my 10%. God, look at me. I did it. And I'm tickled about it. Let's go from being a tickled tither to being a generous giver. Start with 10% as a step of faith and as a beginning in your journey of generosity, and then increase your giving as He increases your income. Because you know what? You'll begin to receive unexpected income. There'll be extra money that comes in. And when you get that extra money, don't just consider yourself locked into 10%. You can give more, you know. And I'm not just talking about giving to the church as the tithe. I'm talking about when you get that extra money, ask God, what's this for? Man, we've been so conditioned to the point that all this extra money that God brings into our hands is for us. Let's start asking God, what is this for? Why did you give this to me? I've been there. I remember getting a $10,000 settlement for an accident I was in. This was while I was still in college. And $10,000 is a lot of money to a college student. I mean, you get that check, you go to the bank, it's like, cha-ching. And then they tell you, you know what, it's going to take a couple of days for us to get this into your account. And I'm like, what? I want to blow this right now. And it was so hard for me to give that $1,000 tithe. It really was, man. That was one of the hardest tithes I've ever paid. Is $1,000. I realize I've got $9,000 of extra money left over, and I'm like stingily holding on to this check that I've written for $1,000. And when I gave that, you know what? I was happy with myself. I was kind of like, you know what? I did it. I just gave away $1,000. Well, God just gave you $10,000. Come on, man. And I didn't ask God the question, what's this money for? You know, certainly I was generous at the time, and I blessed people and took people out to eat and stuff. But I believe God maybe had a higher purpose for that, for getting that money into my hands. And I probably blew more of it than I should have. Certainly I saved some and used it for my wedding and honeymoon and stuff. But I believe God had a higher purpose for that. I believe God wanted me not to just be a tickled tither, but to be a generous giver in that instance. Finally, I want you to realize that God blesses the prosperous, or God prospers the generous. Because you reap what you sow. And I want you to see that you need to reap what you sow and then sow what you've reaped. Reap what you sow and then sow what you've reaped. Giving, generous giving is a cycle that builds upon itself over and over and over. I'm not saying you give away all your harvest. The scripture talks about how He gives seed to the sower and your bread for eating. You understand? You can consume. You should enjoy and consume some of the harvest that He's given to you. I'm not saying that we have to give it all away for the kingdom and for His purpose. God wants you to enjoy the blessings that He gives to you. He wants to for you to be prospered extravagantly, and you to enjoy His blessings. But 2 Corinthians 9:8 in the Message tells us this: God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done. As one psalmist puts it, He throws caution to the winds, giving to the needy in reckless abandon. His right living, right giving ways never run out, never wear out. This most generous God who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals is more than extravagant with you. He gives you something you can then give away. I love that. He gives you something you can then give away, which grows into full-formed lives, robust in God, wealthy in every way, so that you can be generous in every way, producing with us great praise to God. You'll see that as you grow, like I'm talking about this morning, as you grow to new levels, to new heights in your giving, you'll see that as you increase in your giving, you'll increase in your getting. That's just the way it works. God blesses the generous. But why? Because those who are blessed by God become blessers for God. Those who are blessed by God become blessers for God. Randy Alcorn says in his book, The Treasure Principle, God prospers me not to raise my standard of living, but to raise my standard of giving. And I love that. God prospers me not to raise my standard of living, but to raise my standard of giving. In this book, he outlines the story of Tom Monaghan, the founder of Domino's Pizza, whose desire was to die broke. A millionaire whose desire was to die broke, so he gave it all away. He realized that I can't take it with me. And I don't want to leave my resources behind for somebody else to decide what to do with it. So he gave it all away. He sold the Domino's franchise and he gave it all away. 1 Timothy 6:17 through 19, the message says, "Tell those rich in this world's wealth to quit being so full of themselves and so obsessed with money, which is here today and gone tomorrow. Tell them to go after God, who piles on all the riches we could ever manage, to do good, to be rich in helping others, to be extravagantly generous. If they do that, they'll build a treasury that will last, gaining life that is truly life." I want to ask you a question this morning, then we'll receive our offering. What would it look like in your life right now to pour out some of the water in that jug? To experience some risk, to have some faith, and give like never before? I mean, it may not seem very safe, but it's one of the most intellectual decisions you could ever make. Step out and join the ranks of true genius. Become a generous giver. Go ahead and give it a try. If you're here this morning and you've never tithed, you've never given, today's a day to do that. Today's a day to cut ties with the world's economy and world system and step into God's economy and His way of living and His ways of giving. I'm reminded of the story in the New Testament in Jesus' ministry. He's standing outside the temple and he's just watching people as they're putting their offerings in the plate there. And certainly some of the Pharisees of the day and the wealthy folks, they're kind of making a big to-do out of their giving. And Jesus ignores them. And then something peculiar happens. A miserly old woman walks up and drops in 2 pennies. And Jesus draws attention to her and he says, "This woman has given more than everybody this morning. Out of her great need, she gave. She gave all that she had." Talk about a risk. I believe she was making a statement that I'm cutting ties with the world system and I'm going to step into God's system of economy. I'm going to make this statement. I'm going to give away all that I have, trusting God to meet my need. Some of you, the offering this morning is definitely going to be a step of faith. And I urge you to take it. I mean, be inspired by my stories this morning. God's not going to leave you out hanging out to dry. He's going to supply every need that you have. And you'll see, even in this next week, you'll see God's hand of increase upon your life. God's not interested in getting your money. You understand? God doesn't need your money. God's more interested in what's going to take place in your life as a result of you giving your money. That's what he's interested about. So I'll give you another opportunity this morning. If you didn't receive a bulletin, inside you'll find an offering envelope if you're giving by cash, your "Hey, I'm here" card. I want to remind you about dropping that in. I want to pray for our offering this morning, and then you'll have the opportunity and pleasure of giving. And give hilariously this morning. Don't give holding on to your check like I did many years ago when I was trying to drop that $1,000 check in the offering basket. It wasn't even a step of faith. It was a reluctant tithe. You understand? So you give in faith this morning. You give knowing that God's going to meet your need. He's going to bless you richly and abundantly so you can then turn around and complete that cycle over and over again. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that we are true geniuses this morning. That we join the ranks of the true genius as we give generously. We give to the work of your kingdom. We give to others as you lead us. We're not holding on to what we have because we understand that you own it all. Whose is it? It's yours. And so as you lead us this morning, I thank you that we are obedient, and more than obedient, that we are just extravagantly generous this morning. Thank you, Lord, for how you've spoken to our hearts and how you want to raise us up to new heights and new levels in our giving. I thank you for this offering, that it goes into good ground, produces a harvest for Good News Church and for the kingdom of God, as well as a harvest in the lives of those who give. Thank you that you bless the generous and you prosper us so that we can be a blessing to others.